Well, good morning. This is Julie Fedorchak. We are back on live at the Commission for the admin portion of the regularly scheduled meeting. I call the admin meeting to order. Okay, we have a couple of items on one item on consent. I move passage of that item.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's approved.
Thank you, Lana. Okay, so we move down to discussion, and we'll go just in the order that they're listed here. Number one is Victor.
I actually added this for Jack, and he's on vacation, I believe, today.
Oh.
But I kind of know generically what this is. So for the pipeline safety enforcement stuff that Aaron works on, due to federal regulations, they have to have a consent agreement versus a consent order. Mm. So Jack's been working that up. I honestly couldn't tell you exactly what it looks like, but I think it kind of looks and smells a lot like our consent order. But there's a place where advocacy staff would sign off on it. And what his thought is since we have to do that for that process, it may make sense to do that for both that and damage prevention. You would
okay,
so
how and this wouldn't be for damage prevention, this would be for something else?
So
oh, for the pipeline
right,
things?
For the pipeline safety stuff, this
I
is
see.
Required. But the thought is since they are very similar, it may make more sense to do that same process for both.
What would that
it doesn't,
practically mean though for the consent orders? Would your signature be on it somewhere?
That's the only difference, is we would essentially add our signature. There might be some wording. No?
Well, sort of.
Okay.
Jack talked to me about this some time back, and we both thought about it for a little bit. I think this is how it would work, but I haven't researched gas safety. But I think that the document where the party says, yes, I'm not admitting guilt, but I agree to pay the fine, would be like a consent agreement, and both parties would sign that, staff, like a settlement, staff and the company. I think we still need an order that says, oh, we got this, there's an agreement, and then you issue an order. It just wouldn't have that agreement part on the bottom. It would be like attached like a settlement is. Mm. Now it's on the bottom of the actual order, and then you sign the one that they sent in.
You sign the order, and
yeah.
They have signed
they
the
have
consent.
Previously signed that little consent thing, and I think that would be moving to the – that part would be moving to the agreement. Both parties sign it. There's nothing wrong with
right.
that.
It would look more like a settlement agreement in a rate
yeah.
case. You know, the advocacy
oh.
staff and the company would agree to yeah. certain terms, and the commission would issue an order, you know,
oh,
approving
sure.
or rejecting
yeah.
that.
So this would be consent agreement, like the one we just
yes.
passed today.
And
this
would be
signed by both you and
yeah. –
And the party.
And then it would be attached to the order. I think we still need that
the order.
Yep.
That's going to be just like it is just about.
Right.
I'm going to say on some day they sent in a consent agreement and got filed, and then it would just
tomato
be attached.
Tomato.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. And this is just kind of a heads up that, you know, the next one we may or may not see, you know, it kind of depends on when Jack is able to get the template up and running, may look different than the ones you've seen in the past.
So yeah.
But it will have the same.
A little, same probably a little different, maybe, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, could it just be consent to entry of agreement rather than consent to entry of order?
No, but in the
consent
end,
agreement.
There has to be, in the end, I think, in North Dakota, there has to be an order or you're not fining anybody. So they're consenting to an order against
I
them.
See.
So that's.
We'll let you legal beagles work it all out, in my opinion.
Okay if I that? Understand everything Jack meant.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Vic and Alana. Mark, conference updates.
Oh, this is the highlight of the week right here.
Ooh, people are getting excited.
Oh,
I'm hearing a lot
it's
about it.
I didn't get this to you beforehand.
Everywhere I go, which isn't far, but.
Dang, I'm trailing in the tour count, just so you know.
So what I just provided you is just the updated numbers, and then the latest schedule, which you may or may not have seen lately, but total we have 191 registered, and then on the bottom are the numbers for the tours. Commissioner Kalk has 32, Chrisman has 33, and Fedorchak has 65.
Yes!
So right now, Commissioner Fedorchak will need two buses for her tour, and the other two.
Yes, we know who's most popular.
But registration is still open.
How many go on a bus?
The 56 passenger buses.
56?
56.
So we, because I've turned a lot, I've encouraged a lot of potential registrants to go on Julie's tour because I was afraid we didn't have enough room.
you're so nice, Randy.
And then Commissioner Kulk, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Here's kind of where we're at is that if you take a look at the draft agenda, you know, Sundays, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. We're all going to, you know, check in, go down to the Heritage Center. Not a Mark-sponsored event, but Char has been working with the previous commissioners for our photos. So that's don't be late for the picture, Julie, okay, because Randy's going to have coronary if we're not there. I'm just saying
that. I won't be.
Okay.
And if I can just interrupt at this point, we have all 10 coming.
Okay, I hope they all show up when they're supposed to. But yes, that's great. Good work on that.
Everyone's very excited about it. Cause
and what time is that? 8 o'clock on Sunday?
No.
For those that want to be photoshopped.
Well, then I can pick my picture.
Char told me 5, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, 5 o'clock on Sunday. So that'll work out. And then Monday morning, breakfast at the hotel. We've got the speakers lined up. You know, Dave Moeller, Colette, Travis. We invited the governor, so if he can make it, he'll show up. Otherwise, it'll be a member of his staff. And then we go into a little panel with great chair, going to chair it. I want to moderate the multi-state policies. So that people are pretty excited about that. I've talked to all of them. Luncheon from Illinois, and then the 2 breakout sessions in the afternoon. We've talked to Ann on the nuclear and coal stuff. Randy's going to chair the telecom. I know, Randy, you're working with the – you've talked to Derek and to John, right?
Yeah, but not much. Okay. I didn't know if there's any other direction, but I need to get a hold of them again.
And then the emergency response planning. Julie, you're working on that one. Julie, I don't think we've had a chance to talk much about that, but we kind of wrote out
– Yeah, we've talked a couple times.
Good?
Yep,
okay.
I think that's good. I'll give those guys a shout.
Okay. And then the water issues were all set up. That night we're going to Theodore Roosevelt Park. For some reason we're missing the commissioner
Fort
meeting.
Fort Lincoln.
Fort Lincoln.
Yeah.
We're missing the commissioner meeting on...
No, it's...
On this schedule.
It's not on there anymore?
Mm-mm.
I just gave away all my copies.
Generation of time. Not working. When is it supposed to be?
It's supposed to be 4 o'clock on Monday.
Oh.
It was on our previous one. It's not on this one. So, and then... going to Tuesday panels in the morning, and then the tour part is kind of where we're at right now. Is that, as an example, John and I have got a detailed schedule of our tour with, and we've talked to the vendor for lunch. We got a cost submitted, so it's in there. We put together a schedule that we're going to email out to the people that sign up as we get closer. So if that'd be really helpful, my colleagues, if you could give me a schedule of what you're planning, like where the lunch is going to be, who we got to pay, and just those kind of micro details.
I will get you one, but I have asked them to get it to me like middle of next week, the petroleum folks.
Okay.
They're swamped right now, so.
Sure, they're in the middle, but it's, in general it's...
We're ordering, we're eating on the bus, and we're having sack box lunches that we're picking up from Lucky Ducks before we leave, that morning. So
we'll just pay Lucky Ducks some money?
Yeah.
All right.
Jerry's kind of been talking with Stacy about that. So that's our lunch plan. And then, I mean, I know the general swing we're doing, you know, we're going to Dickinson, right, West Dickinson Refinery, gas plant, active rig, and then back.
So yours all, you basically get them on the bus in time and the rest will flow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they'll be doing Bakken 101 on the bus, like kind of how do you frack and talking about the geology and all that.
Okay, that's easy enough. So maybe we don't need much more than that, but if you get something, that'd be good.
Yeah.
The buses, the transportation plan, Jim's guys up in 13th floors and gals are helping us out. They're going to have tour 1 going here, tour 2 going there, so they can herd the right people going to the right place. And what I've told them for the tours is that as long as we know who leaves, we make sure we bring them back. If somebody doesn't sign up for Randy's tour, at the last minute they decide they want to go to his tour instead of your tour, I don't think we just let them do what they do.
Right.
We just keep track of it. There's no you know, the people, we got a lot of people that are signed up for the conference but haven't signed up for a tour. If they decide that day they want to go, I don't have a heartburn as long as we know who
I gets think we just talked about the important thing being somebody checking off people when they get on the bus so we know who we have on the bus so we make sure we bring them back. So we can provide somebody like...
Do the number system where the number has to say 1, 2, 3, 4, you know?
We could do that.
Yeah. However,
I have two questions regarding the lunch stuff.
Yes, sir.
Based on previous MARC meetings, how many more people do we expect are going to be signing up? Like, we've got these numbers that Stacy read off. Are we expecting that this is about half the population, so these numbers will probably each double?
I would say we're in the 75 to 80% range right now. I'd be surprised if we get to 250.
Okay, so when we're looking
at... for this tours.
No, for the overall conference. The tours, I would think that, Randy, you and I will be able to do our tours with one bus. And, Julie, you're already doing two buses, so I don't think...
The only problem is lunches. I mean, we're not going to order a lot more lunches, I wouldn't think.
So we probably should be talking right now numbers maybe 40 each and 70 or 75. We expect a few more, but not a lot more. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think that's fair. I mean, what day is today? We're a month out, really, give or take.
Yeah,
we don't really need to know until, like, whenever you're ordering.
No, but you need kind of some plan of, you know, where would you... You'd host it in a different place if there's going to be 30 to 50 than if there's going to be 100 or 150. Right. And,
you know, for you guys, if you're sitting down someplace, yeah.
So I'm guessing it'll be something a little more than this, but
if you figured 50 rancher, I think you'd be right on the mark.
Okay, and then just to... I don't know how much money we have to spend on it because we're having a lunch that they won't soon forget. What's our dollar amount about? And if we would go over it, is it all right if the mine or the Basin Electric that's also on the tour contributes some additional so that it's paid for? Or I don't know if there's any.
No, what we've tried to do is this, is that if someone wants to sponsor the event, then they can sponsor through MARC. But the MARC will pay the cost of all the meals because there's some states that have different, all have different rules. So we want the money that we pay for lunch to go out of the MARC funds. Okay. And to your question about how much, I think it's more of, you know, we've kind of used $15 to $20 a head is plenty for a lunch. So if you can't do it in $20 a head, then maybe ratchet it down. But it's just the cost of doing business.
Yeah. If we accidentally go a little over, they should just donate some additional to MARC.
Well, it's up to them what they
sponsor.
But yeah, if Basin wants to sponsor or other things, we certainly can, they can do sponsorships.
Okay.
Should have been promoting your food.
It's right in here.
Yeah. We've got the same challenges with numbers, too, for our event on Sunday night and our event on Monday night. So we're watching these numbers really close, too. And we told them 300 at one point. Now we're probably already adjusted those numbers down to 225, 230. So. Yeah.
Oh, yes, including a lunch you won't soon forget. Very good, Randy.
Your stuff, Rancher, your general plan for what you're doing right now?
Can't remember the timing of it. I can't remember.
We leave at 10 o'clock from the Radisson.
We leave at 10 o'clock. Okay, so, yeah, we're getting up to the Coteau Mine, and that's where we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to depart from there and go out to a mine tour. With numbers like these, I think... they can handle it to even let everybody who wants to go up in the drag line.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
And then we'll go over and have a tour of Dakota Gasification and be on our way back and probably look at some reclaimed land and go by the get fairly close to some wind turbines and
perfect.
And then see a pretty broad section of our generation.
Okay. Then when we get back on Tuesday, we kind of figured that on Tuesday, everybody's going to come back from the tour, and folks will be tired, and there's no real planned MARC events except for at 5 o'clock on Tuesday night, we're going to have a social hour. I thought that was 4 to 5. We need to change that back. It's not.
No, we had the tours coming back at 5.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Latest 5.
Latest 5. So, yeah, the tours are back by 5. That's right, to give an extra hour because we've got folks coming. But 5 to 6, we're just going to have a social hour at the hotel. To kind of get people, if they want to come, they can come for an hour. That'll be sponsored by MARC. We're going to have the Honorable Tony Clark just get up there and tell some jokes and imitate Governor Dalrymple is what he told me he's going to do. So, but then when that's done,
be funny for us, but the rest of the crowd will be lost.
But Tony will be the hook to get people to come there. So we thought there that anybody at MARC that wants to do anything, they can come to that social. And after that, we've got a lot of companies that – that I was uncomfortable with taking sponsorships from them, that they want to help out. And I said, well, just like we do at NARUC, if you want to do something on your own, that's fine. It's a non-Mark sponsored event, but an example would be NextEra Energy wants to host something for people that want to go.
Oh, fun.
So there,
so like something at Fiesta Villa,
yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly. So oh. I've given probably...
There's a couple, at least two or three planning stuff.
Yeah. MISO's
downtown?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to do that. So basically at 6 o'clock when the Mark Social is done, people can go back up to their rooms. They can go to the NextEra thing. They can go to the MISO thing. They can go to the SPP thing. And then when we get all those in, we'll just give them a flyer, say, here's where you go to. But the hope would be they'd bounce around downtown
yeah.
on Tuesday night.
And hopefully all those places will pick downtown restaurants. Humpback Sally's is fun. Yeah,
that's the only place we've given them is names to downtown.
Pierogue and Toasted yeah. Frog. And
I haven't gotten any specifics. I don't know what.
And then Wednesday we get up, have a couple, I call Wednesday is hippie day. We've got wind power, energy storage, and LED lighting. So I'm promoting that separately. And then we're done.
Granola for breakfast?
Yes, granola bars, right? Krista and Stacy got in quite a heated discussion about breakfast, and I lost that argument, so anyway.
This is going to be great. You guys have done such a good job. Really, really good.
Stacy, Krista, and Josh, those guys have done a nice job.
It's really going to be fun, and it's going to showcase our city very nicely and really be substantive discussions, too.
And we're going to have beautiful weather for Fort
Lincoln. Just like
this. Yes.
Oh, this would be perfect. Are we doing recreational stuff, or did we just skip that?
We did not want to make it a planned Mark event, but like people that have kids that want to come, the kids are welcome to come to the Heritage Center. Kids are welcome to come to Fort Lincoln. Quite honestly, if the kids want to go on the tour and they're older than a certain 16, I don't have a problem with that. And then Josh was going to put a flyer together that we'd give out for people that wanted to go to like the zoo or something. But we haven't seen a lot of...
Yeah, we didn't do actual planned events, though, for guests.
No,
yeah.
Just didn't seem like there was a lot of kids coming, and we had enough going on.
It almost takes, like, a whole nother crew
it's
to do that.
Hard, yeah, that's a lot to add, and it. I don't know how many people bring their kids.
They didn't have very many last year, like, yeah. Literally, like, five or something like that. And they did a lot of work planning.
Yeah.
They had, like, a whole other team that's all they did, and that's one of the things that they told us is it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
People
used to be a big deal, I think. Tony brought his kids to all these Mark events.
Yeah. And, yeah, all of our evening events are kid-friendly, so that should be good. The Heritage Center exhibits will be open, Fort Lincoln. We have the infantry reenactment people coming out there, and the Gatling gun guy is going to shoot off his Gatling gun, I guess.
One of the things
does
that
does Randy Hudson-Bueller want to showcase Medora at all and send out his TR guy to
Well, we're already working that. If
cool.
I could... If we could go offline, I can tell you all about that. But
yep.
No, if you look at the schedule, you notice it says that the
president has been invited.
Oh, fun! Where's that now?
Monday morning, end of the morning.
No, session. It's not on the schedule.
What schedule did I give you guys?
An inaccurate one, obviously. That's weird.
No, it's on here.
Where
the opening session, way at the bottom.
Oh, okay. All right, I stand.
I got a bigger font, maybe.
Yeah, all right, fine.
Substantially.
Oh, President of the United States invited.
Okay, but here's what we got planned. As I talk to Medora and Teddy Roosevelt's going to come.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, and I'm giving him a bunch of, if you guys know something funny about any of your colleagues, I'm giving it to him, and so he's going to make fun of, like, Nick Hacker and Bill Kenny.
Awesome.
So that should be fun.
Yeah, we should spend some time thinking about that.
But that's why I put down, because everybody's laughing that we invited the president, so somewhere in there during the panel, I'm going to say, well, we're wrapping up here, and then have Stacy come and say, holy crap, the president's here.
Phil.
Yeah.
He'd be a good one, too.
So that's the plan, and they're going to be in the program, and anybody that wants
that's
to stick
great.
Around, we're going to put the Medora logo in the program. And the thing about some folks like Jim Sullivan wants to bring his grandkids up here, and he wants to know what to do, and he's got the whole week. So I've hooked him up with the Medora people, and then they're going out there afterwards.
And he will obviously promote Medora when he's here.
Absolutely.
The Roosevelt dude. Good.
We really looked at trying to do stuff in Medora, but as you know, it's a long way from here.
It's hard
tough
to fly
to
in and out of there. And it would have been
and
great.
Even just to get people out there, it takes like, I mean, it's just hard. It's a whole extra day almost. Otherwise, you're getting people back at like midnight, you know, if you go to the musical.
When Ed was governor, we did do Western Governors out there, and it was really, really awesome. I'll never forget. Shiloh, they took a train. Burlington Northern brought their train.
Nice.
And so people flew into Bismarck and got on that special train and rode the train out there. And then Shiloh Schaefer had a band, and everyone in Stars and Stripes, and everyone, when they got off the train, this band was playing. Shiloh was out there with their flags, and it was just incredible. Street dance one night. I mean, it was something else. Really amazing. And it did work, but, I mean, yeah, there was a different set of resources available.
Sure.
And fewer restrictions at
that time. And then the last thing that I wanted to just talk through my colleagues with is if we have staff that wants to go to specific panels, I think that's okay. Like before we kind of talked about the planning staff that's doing all the work, they'll go to the events on Sunday and they'll go to the events Monday night. But if we want people that want to go down to a certain session and they can work it out with their supervisors, I think that's okay. But I wouldn't want people just showing up on Sunday night to the Heritage Center because they're not doing anything from staff. And it's just, I want to make sure that's okay with you guys. So
I think it's great. The more they want to participate, the better.
Right. But if you got somebody that wants to go down, let's say Mike's guy, Vic wants to go down to a panel on Monday. I think if he just shows up down there, that's fine. We'll work through it. But if Vic shows up on Sunday night just to go to the Heritage Center, we don't have any revenues for the extra numbers, so I don't think that's appropriate. I don't know of any other way to do it.
Right.
I mean, if we come in real heavy with numbers, we could change that, but I don't know.
Cost is the meals. If we have a bunch of people showing up for meals that haven't paid, it will get to be an issue. But if they just come sit in a session, it's not costing us anything.
But how have other states handled it with staff?
Well, their commissions are so big, they've developed like their planning staff of 20 people, and that's the only ones that were involved, and they came to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the other states had planning staff, like literally like 30, 40 people working on the conference.
Yeah.
They all got free meals.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. We have like.
Well, you know, so like we'll have six. A lot of staff helping with the conference, right?
We got about 10.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, we've added some people lately.
I'm open to anything. I just wanted to throw it out there.
Well, I don't know. I guess I have sort of mixed feelings about it because. You know, even if a staff member isn't helping or a specific time, you know, we've devoted a lot of staff time to this free of charge.
Yep.
And
other
they're
staff
picking
members
up the
have
pieces.
Picked up
yeah,
for the ones
exactly.
So, we're doing
this. So okay. I mean, if it's a small perk to our staff that they can come to the thing and be part of it, I guess, I don't know. I think we should. Think about it.
I'm okay with that. I just wanted to bring, because my first thought was just what I told you guys, but to Randy's point, the other staff have picked up extra things while these guys are doing it, so
right.
Everyone has participated.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
That's true.
Then what we have to do is we just have to have a little more planning with those numbers.
Well, and maybe there's hardly any more that, I mean, if they haven't volunteered to help out, they maybe aren't that interested in participating in Mark, and there might not be that many additional staff who would want to come.
Can we send an email out? I don't have any objection to requiring. We need an RSVP. We got to kind of find out who wants to go to what, and then we'll look at it.
I almost think if we're going to put a who wants to go, then we've made the decision to let them go, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we should
but
have
not, the... Probably not spouses, too. I mean, just...
Yeah,
see, that becomes a slippery slope.
Yeah,
kids and their wife and husband and 18 kids show up, and all of a sudden your cost goes up by $400.
We've got, you know, 50 extra meals or 60, and so, but the staff person, I think that's reasonable and a fair approach.
I do too when it's reasonable to go, but I think we have. It's not just entertainment for 3 days for someone who's completely unassociated with something going on here.
Right.
You know, a certain part of it, probably no reason to be there either.
I would have just assumed that as long as they have their supervisor's approval to be going when they're going, that should curb any of those problems.
Supervisors can determine if it's
legitimate
for the
day
stuff, and then the evening stuff is on their own time anyway, so we've determined that reasonable for the Mark to cover their costs because of all the investment we've made, and they should... be invited to go.
Sounds good. We will do so.
Okay. Good.
All right.
And then Pat did give me two names from his area to help out.
Oh, yes.
Sarah and Julie are going to help out with some registration stuff. So
perfect. So
do you have enough? Are you getting enough staff volunteers?
Yeah, I think we needed just a couple for registration, and so we had reached out to Pat, and he volunteered. So I think we're pretty good.
We systematically grew. If we started out,
Jim gave us four people for transportation.
Four for transportation. The only section we hadn't touched yet was PUD. So
and we will be pulling in Cheryl and Matt yet too. Steve's going to come up with an IT kind of schedule, so we have somebody there to help us.
Oh, good.
With IT stuff whenever we need, and then we got our core group.
Don't we have a directors meeting coming up here before the Mark thing? So we can maybe talk about that at the directors meeting. Just make sure they all know what we're talking about. Okay, that sounds great.
Good. Great job, you guys.
Especially on that Monday morning, but maybe Sunday night a little bit too. Well, I think primarily Monday morning, till people kind of have their bearings downtown a little bit. We have plenty of people to be outside of the various entrances of the hotel to help them figure out where the Belle Mayhus is, because we don't want them heading down toward McDonald's and the Farm and Home Store.
We've got to make sure looking for everybody, and we're
yeah,
have everybody
we'll have to have traffic control.
People around. We're going to tour the Belle here Monday, maybe. I can't remember when it is, because just those little details will kill us.
Yeah, like, and there's hardly any bathrooms in there. That's the one bad thing.
At the Belle. Well, actually, what we're hoping to do with the Belle is it's 2.5 hour time block. I'm hoping just to get that done with and not break, because once you break at the Belle, you lose everybody.
Yeah.
So get over there and move through that pretty quickly and then be done and then go back across to the
sure.
To the, because we talked about trying to take a break, and I was just like, no, let's just get through it.
It's enough different speakers that'll keep people in.
I think so. And those speakers, you know, think about it. They could be done in 20 minutes. Or they could take an hour, but then the point was the panel. I would kind of flex that time a little bit. The hope would be to get the invited president up there by 11 or a little bit before, and then after he says his comments, then we break. And anybody that wants to come up and get pictures with him or whatever, they could do that. I thought that might be fun.
Very.
Or pictures with Randy, too, I guess that'd be fun.
Sure. He's very president.
And then all these other things, Galleria and Rembrandt and Picasso, those are all over in the Radisson, right?
Everything else is in the Radisson except for Monday night and Sunday night events.
Okay.
Good. Are there any sort of welcome baskets for people?
I scrapped that idea.
Did you?
Just because I thought they were, you got a lot of work to put them together. When I talked to most of the people, they just chunk them anyway.
Boy, I don't. I love the food. A little candy bar and some dots. Do we have any left over from last summer? No, you're not. All right.
There will be an information packet that people right. will receive. We're going to have some information from the CVB, so they'll get all the information about what to do in Bismarck Mandan. We're going to have a downtowners packet, so they'll get like the downtowners map, but no goodies, no.
Yeah.
That would have been a special goodie committee bag team, so we. If you want to chair it, you could.
I would chair it. That's how strongly I feel about goodies in hotel rooms when you arrive.
No, we had a unanimous ballot on that one. We all agreed.
All right. Well, then, I'm not going to.
It is interesting when you look at past years and how many staff did these things. Literally, they would have like 30, 40 people working on this, and they'd have one committee that's all they
that
did
was, their job.
Was work on goodie bags. And when we started planning, we had like five people. We were like, we're.
Yeah.
But their job
we got to do what we can
do.
Still
and have jobs, and that's yeah. what the directors' meeting. We'll have to talk about staffing of this place on Monday
right.
and Tuesday, just because we need people to answer the phones here and do what they got to do here. We can't have everybody down there either.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Very fun.
Thanks, Stace.
Okay, so that's it for Mark, right, Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Renewable energy credits, Michael.
Not nearly as exciting as Mark, but...
No.
Well, it could be, though.
It could be. We've met with the three IOUs and, had an informal hearing to talk about RECs. We've got a lot of informal guidance, I'll call it, from the commission. And after the public utility staff talked about RECs and what we should do, should the commission issue an order giving direction, we felt like it might be better just coming from staff rather than the more formal approach. And so it's on the agenda for your for discussion. Perhaps you would rather send out a letter on your under your own name, or develop or have an order written, or you know, I'm not trying to do anything on my own here. It's significant enough. I thought you should talk about it.
Okay, and you've got a draft letter that you've sent, or
no, it hasn't been sent. I just put it together for your thoughts, for your. Tell me what you want.
I'm looking at it.
The companies and now even some of the co-ops are desiring some direction, and so that's what I've tried to do here.
The letter isn't printed out in our admin package, though. It's in that email you sent us.
Yeah, that's where I'm looking at it right now.
I like your idea just about I don't want to have a I don't want to vote on what I think rec should be. I think each one should be case by case. And state-specific, company-specific, they run their companies, they decide. So for me, I mean, if my colleagues want to vote on it, I maybe, we'll go school for, but I don't have any desire to make a broad statement for all these groups. So you're right on the mark there. Staff, I think, if you're looking for me to ask you to say I think it's okay if you send something out, I don't even know if I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
I mean, I have
because?
No, well, just... Why do we give them guidance from staff that who wants it?
The investor-owned utility companies would like something more formal from the commission. As you remember from the informal hearing, we had one company that's right. Not worried about at all about meeting the objective and two that are, and there was a lot of discussion as to what exactly the law means going forward beyond 2015. And
I thought we left that meeting. Now, thank you for refreshing me. My thought to them was, listen, if you want us to make a formal decision, then you individually file a request, and then we will act on that accordingly. If Xcel wants us to decide what they want to do with Rex, then Xcel file a request for us to act formally on it, and we'll do so. That's what I thought I said that day.
I think that's what you said. I don't think that I didn't hear that from the whole commission, but the utility companies, I mean, I had conversations with them after our informal hearing, and they've just been sitting back waiting for direction from the commission one way or the other.
They didn't like my thoughts.
I don't know if they didn't like it. I don't know that they thought that was
the commission thought.
The whole commission.
They didn't. Maybe they like it, but they didn't know if we agreed with it, so they aren't going to.
Quite frankly,
they should
do exactly what you're saying.
Quite frankly, they would. They would. I think I can say with some degree of certainty they would prefer an order from the commission saying thou shalt do this.
But I would not want to do an order that's for all three companies in one blanket. They should each be their own order.
And so what I've tried to do is strike a balance by just simply stating what I think is fairly obvious. The letter also serves as a reminder that your final report is due June 30th, 2016, for your 2015 results. And so
I like the letter that you proposed, in particular the last chunk that says, I strongly suggest that you establish a program to sell all rec inventories, because I think that is good guidance and provides more clarity than what they have right now.
I think that's what I heard from all three commissioners. It's just
if they wanted further direction, they could do what Commissioner Kalk suggested, is ask us for further direction.
Certainly they could.
Or what I like about this is it says, you know, the commission tends to think, or we think as the advocates, that these should be sold for the benefit of customers, and you list the reasons, and I think it's, I like that. I like that approach.
I'm still trying
I do
to
not like the idea of them not selling the racks. Like, and I think Xcel is going down the path of not selling them. Yes.
I have to say that with this being on admin, I just skimmed through this, and I didn't realize we were really making a decision. And so I haven't given this as much thought as I guess I should have. Initial reading through it, I agree with what Julie just said. I think it's fine and pretty good direction, but I'm not sure I'm not going to feel a little bit differently or find something to want to tweak or something like that. But at this point, I see nothing wrong with it, and I think it would be, mm-hmm. it seems like a good direction. How soon do we want to give guidance to Mike on this?
Yeah, what we could do, Jerry is going to have more than she can do for the next couple of days, just like is always the case after a hearing or after a commission meeting. So let's just plan on trying to have this, if we're okay with the letter approach, have this out by the end of Friday. That way it gives commissioners, individual commissioners, a chance to read it more closely if they like and provide me with some additional input.
Because I will say I do think that these companies ought to be cashing those in, you know, not many years down the road, but in a you know, reasonably quick time frame so that the customers who are customers when they earn them get to benefit from them, not whoever are the customers in 10 or 15 years from now.
If that works, then I will plan to send this letter out at the end of Friday unless otherwise instructed.
If that's where you're trying to get commission guidance without getting commission guidance, it's your letter. Send it out if you want.
Okay.
Well, Randy wanted to think about it some more, so I'm fine with Friday.
All right, thank you.
All right. Okay. Next one is yours too, Mike.
Yes.
NSP Electric Reliability. We've talked a lot about it, so I don't know that we need to talk a lot more unless you want to add anything to what the conversation was this morning, well, and then we need to schedule the informal.
Well, I was just maybe this is more about the scheduling matter, but you know, after I heard the rather large exchange this morning, I don't know if we need an informal hearing, quite frankly. I'm wondering if, staff continues to work with NSP. I've been working with them for the last couple of days, and I suspect that, and I know we'll keep working on this, and maybe we'll come up with some long-term solutions beyond what we've already agreed to in orders and settlements. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't know if we need an informal hearing. That would be more for the benefit of commissioners, of course, than staff, but I just wanted to put that in there.
I think we should for a couple reasons. One, to review the report and go over that in more detail and the trends and talk about what happened last year and talk more thoroughly about the pole fire issues and how that contributed and what's changed now and all that. And then I'd like to, you know, the company's doing a lot of analysis right now on and trying to develop a more fine-tuned approach on the cable replacement schedule and what's involved, how much of it, and there's more data there that I would like. And I think that they feel that they might be able to have that by the time we have an informal. So I think it would be a good discussion to have an informative leading into the rest of the, you know, summer season with lightning strikes and other things that might create more issues there. So we did have it's a good start, and I really appreciate all the information the company has provided in short order and good detail in the last couple of days. But I think that from my perspective, I'd kind of like to sit down and go over some of those bigger issues. I don't know how my colleagues feel.
No, that's fine. If one person wants to do it, I'm always amenable to it.
Okay.
I could just ask Mike one question without, I don't want to take too much time, but your email, last paragraph, NSP reports a revenue deficiency of $8 million in 2015, which adds to the concerns. Without going down too long a discussion, what the heck's going on? And if there's not an easy answer, that'll be the first topic for the informal.
Commissioner, I haven't had time to figure out what has occurred in 2015, only to just note that the bottom line shows a deficiency.
Okay.
And so my concern was if you're deficient by that amount of money, do you have you know, are you going to dedicate the resources necessary to fix some of these things? And so I think earnings has to be part of the discussion, and that's some of the things that I'm talking to NSP about. So,
and then when we have this work session, what cases do we list? That's something to figure out, but this ties into about a gazillion
different
cases. Last
two rate cases?
Well.
No? Any? Is it
where
more
are you? 12-8-13 was the last rate case, and it did extend some of the agreements that we reached in an earlier case, one Brian more or less spearheaded, 10-something. So I think, in those 12-8-13 cases, we had about 8 different cases attached to it.
Just something to sort out.
All right.
Since we're talking about this, we do have the May 18th informal still on the calendar, and it doesn't show that it has any targeted topics. So that one, maybe we could just keep it simple and use that for this.
Sure.
May 18th. Do you think that's enough time, Mike, to gather the necessary information?
Mark's in the room. He probably would have a better.
That's about 2 weeks, Mark.
Based on what I see so far, I'll go out on a limb and say yes.
Okay.
We're putting immediate attention to it. So.
All right. If it ends up being a problem, we can extend it. Yep. Okay. Because I think it's important to have the right data, and if it requires waiting another 2 weeks, I think that's okay. All right. So we'll write that down for the May 18th one agenda at this point. Then number 5, this one is mine. I wanted to just bring this up because this is the 10-year plans. I'm just handing this out, not that I have a huge proposal, but I just want to get a want to hand that to Lana, please. So 10-year plans, this is in preparation for our meeting tomorrow with the Petroleum Council folks. And this has been on the agenda a lot of times, and I like to move it forward a little bit further, although I don't have draft legislation. But what I've like to propose as an approach to the 10-year plans, this is the law that would have to be changed in it, and to somehow tailor this law to so that it wouldn't apply to the pipeline transmission pipelines. The other utilities, the gas plants, I don't think we can find out tomorrow, but that didn't seem that they had a huge objection. The electric don't. The transmission lines haven't, you know, so I don't know that it's a big issue, the 10-year plans for these other projects. The pipeline companies are the ones that are saying, you know, it's kind of irrelevant. We don't know our plans that far in advance, and we aren't going to tell anybody anything anyways. So I'd be willing to carve them out of this requirement and then add a piece to our rules in the application portion where we require them to include in their application the background that I find helpful from the 10-year plans, which is all of their, you know, number one, description of the location, size, type of all the facilities that they own, and I would add a few other things to the rules about what we should get from them in their siting application. So that's the concept I'd like to pitch tomorrow, but I wanted to get thoughts from you guys ahead of time.
What did we tweak last time? Was it only filing every other year?
Yeah.
What was that?
Just changed the reduced it from one every year to every other year.
Okay, so so now that this says within.
It says the even number years or odd number year, the even numbered years.
Okay. Well, I don't see the same value that you see in 10-year plans, so I'm okay with anything you want to do to reduce them down, even to a 5-year plan. I just,
yeah.
Today's world of wind farms and gas plants, and I'm okay with whatever you want to do to reduce that filing burden.
Well, the only people complaining about the filing burden are the pipeline companies. The others, like Basin and those folks, they aren't complaining about it. So
I don't think they'd be against making it a five-year plan.
But I don't know what the value of that, you know, I don't know that we have to do that.
But that's my thought, Madam.
Yeah, I'd rather just deal with the issue that we know the complaint, which is this is not relevant to us because we don't have that kind of information and it just doesn't apply to us. So I think that I would like to address that for them because they've asked a couple times now and it seems reasonable and we aren't using it, you know, we aren't getting the kind of information that this law envisioned anyway. So I'd like to exclude them, but I don't know, Alana, if you have, is that hard to just carve them out?
It's not hard. It's just that you need to give me or whoever the description of who you're carving out. Is it all pipelines? Or I thought you had mentioned.
Well, I said transmission pipelines, but that would be the only ones that we regulate.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Yep.
Do the gathering by this law? Do the gathering pipeline companies have to do them for some other agency?
Are they considered a utility?
Well, the utility is defined right above there in number 13, and that's what I was just reading. So if you're in generation, manufacture, refinement, transmission, gas, liquid hydrocarbons, liquid hydrocarbon products, et cetera. So that's utility. That's what the word means right below it. And I take it you'd just be saying, except for pipelines.
Yep.
Probably say each utility, comma, except
excluding
pipe, you know, those in the transmission of hydrocarbon. Again, you'd have to stop and think, do you want it any other transmission lines included or excluded?
Right. And we can spend, obviously, and we'll spend more time. I just wanted to have buy-in on the general concept for tomorrow and pitch it to that group. And, you know, during the legislative process, if others come forward and say, well, we don't want to be part of it and we don't want to be, I think we can take that information as it comes, or maybe others come forward before that and we hear about it. But as a starting point, I guess I'd like to propose the pipelines.
Okay. Well, as a starting point, I'll tell you I'm fine with this idea. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to kind of tell you what I think will happen. I've heard more complaining about these since we made it every other year than I did before we made it every other year. And I think the reason we're hearing more is because it's a hassle to them, and they've noticed a weakness. and so once we exempt them, the rest, maybe not that session as a form of amendment, by 2 years later, others will want to be exempted as well. And maybe that's okay, you know, if that's what the legislature decides, maybe we get our information in other ways that we need. And I can see where this is a hassle to a lot of them. I think it's pretty useful, but as quickly as that, the oil and gas industry evolves and changes, I can see where it's a lot of work for them that oftentimes turns out to not be useful because industry changes in that time. So I'm fine with doing it, but I do think it will continue the process.
So do you think that we should just propose eliminating it altogether?
Well, you are right that these are the ones that the complaints have come from, and frankly, especially with electric transmission and generation, I think we actually do too little long-term planning. And so I hope we don't end up eliminating it, but if it's such an extraordinary burden on them, then maybe it ultimately will happen. But I do think that long-term planning is important and that there's too little of it done. But.
Well, and having this in law just establishes the fact that the state thinks it's important that they coordinate with each other and that they consider environmental, you know, and so it lays that all out, that these are expectations that, you know, maybe we don't have the staff to follow up with them as much as we should. But
in the world of pipelines, it's really not working anyway. You know, you see, ever since Dakota Access was approved, now a bunch of other things revolving around that. Well, had it been working as planned, those other things would have probably been in the works before that, but they weren't really communicating and planning together anyway. They're competitors. That's just, I guess, that's not the way that industry works. And
yeah.
See, I'm okay with whatever you can decide, but I would just say that I've never seen value in the 10-year plans. I mean, in the sense that it doesn't help make the decision in front of you. I get the long-term planning idea, but the reality of transmission, electricity transmission planning, now with the worlds of MISO and SPP, which everyone belongs to, there's really no way that I believe a Basin or a XL could submit a 10-year plan with much validity with all the different moving parts of how those things all lay out, because they each have their own planning process. It's not like it used to be where MDU was unique and they planned themselves. They're part of these larger organizations, which they might build this year and that one the next year. So I really, you could take all of it away.
Well, you could take all transmission away. I mean, I was just thinking the same thing. The electric transmission planning is
out of our
domain.
Yeah.
And plus, it's accessible. If you want to know what's going on, there's a lot of information you could get or make them file or whatever. But you could leave generation and get rid of transmission, which might quell the me too things.
But even the way generation.
That idea too.
Even the way generation works, though, if a RTO is short generation, the generation may be built in North Dakota, it may be built in Minnesota, it may be built in Iowa. For a generator to plan, they're going to have a tough time, too, because they won't know. It'll be depending on where the hot and cold spots are inside the RTO, where they might want the generation.
Mm-hmm. I hate diddling with things that aren't, you know, that, but there's just I have some hesitation to just cut it all out. I don't know
if
the consequences of that would be, if any, or what short-sightedness there might be in doing that.
For one thing, we don't necessarily have to submit this legislation for it to be submitted. If we even signal to them that we're not going to try hard to kill it, I'm sure they will find a legislator and sponsor it. And even if we do it, then, you know, say we put it in as you had proposed, just having to do with pipeline companies. If the electric transmission companies or everybody that anyway falls under this run to legislators and ask for amendments, that's what will end up happening to it anyways. And it's probably as simple as suggesting, at least with the pipeline companies, we're not going to fight it hard. Mm-hmm. And I don't, right now in this conversation, I don't hear that any one of us would.
Right.
And let them run with it.
Then that would be the... okay, well, we'll throw it out there. We'll pitch it tomorrow as excluding, I think, transmission pipelines.
Yeah, I'm certainly okay with it. Like just Randy said, I wouldn't fight that. And I think it is a better idea to let them carry the load and we see what the legislation looks like.
If the rest all jump on the bandwagon, you know, then there's going to be full-scale hearings down there and we can sit in and see if we recognize things going awry. But
right. And what will be asked, how do you guys use this?
Yep.
I mean, is it valuable to you? And the legislators can think about all the... original requirements and the policy behind it.
But as we've seen with the footprint law, if they really want something, even if it's the third or fourth week of April, they can find a sponsor.
Yeah.
They're pretty savvy.
Okay. So we'll start tomorrow with the exclusion of them, and then we need to look at, and I'll work with Pat on adding something to our rules to cover the information that the 10-year plans provide in the siting piece.
I had one quick topic to add, if that's okay.
Yep. Go ahead.
Just a quick update. The FERC hearings yesterday, there's everybody that's fully read in has to sign the disclosure agreement, so I won't talk about the whole case, but I'll just give you the long and short of it. It's not going very well. So I talked with Alana briefly, but I think what we need to do is figure out this thing is probably going to go to full FERC hearing.
Before you go any further, are we talking about the Otter Tail and SPP? Okay.
It's Otter Tail, Central Power, now Missouri River Energy, Basin Electric, and us. We're intervening to end South Dakota all in there. And basically, it's a heated discussion around who's going to pay these costs.
I didn't know if we're talking about this or that pipeline business. Yes.
So I think what we need to do is figure out a time to talk about this thing. My opinion is it'll be more than likely is going to go to a full FERC hearing now. Mm-hmm. And so we have really two choices. One is just to stay out of it, or two is to then weigh in one way or the other. And this is a little bit different than like we did with the transmission or the pipeline, right? Because then we could all kind of talk and put a letter in. But in this case, Otter Tail, if they decide to go a certain way, they'll have to file a PCNN. So we would have to make a decision on that. So we can't get out too far in front of what our comments might be officially, right, in front of FERC, because we're prejudging a PCNN case. So I
told
Well,
let's add it to scheduling.
Right.
I mean, there's too many factors, yep, to provide any direction at all.
No,
and
I just...
What's the timeline?
We've got time.
Okay.
But I just wanted to give you the down and dirty, so...
Yeah. All right. I think we should just do a briefing and talk as much as we can. And
I will try to talk to Alana and Jack and just see how that works with... Maybe it might be a good idea just to have you both sign the disclosure agreements. Then we can have a talk. Does that become closed, and how does that work?
You mean you and I and Jack?
No, meeting.
The meeting.
Us.
Cause it,
I'd have to see what the issues are and the disclosure language before I can answer that. It might be possible to have a reasonable meeting with good information that is outside that. I just have to look at it.
We could schedule this down the road for June, but just to put it on the schedule, and we can sort through the details.
Yeah, you can figure that out. Okay, very good. So we add that to scheduling. And then I just wanted to quickly go through the draft agenda for tomorrow's meeting and make sure. So there's a one-call working group presentation. Is that something you still want to do, or is that done? Is there more to be done on that? That was included in this agenda, and I hadn't had a chance to ask you about that yet.
Is
there anything more
to
report?
I don't know if Danette or Carly wants to. Danette wanted to do more, but I had nothing else that I wanted to add to that.
Because didn't we kind of talk about that the last time?
I thought so, yeah.
There was nothing more?
I don't think so.
Well, nobody else added stuff, so like this didn't go out to them for additions.
But that could go away.
Okay. Infrastructure update. I'm not sure if Kringstad's been invited or not, but I will check with him. PHMSA updates. So what I wanted to do there was pass around the NARUC position on the PHMSA reauthorization law and talk through just to see. They may have some issues with some of that positioning, and I would like to know what they are before I go out to front. I still may advocate for the NARUC position, but I would like to know if some of these folks have issues with what the NARUC position is. So that was my thought on that. You guys have any issues with bringing that up?
Nope.
And then the second issue with PHMSA, which won't be on this agenda, is there's proposed rulemaking out there too. And this group will have thoughts on that, and we will probably have thoughts on those rules as well. So in the next agenda, we're going to talk about the proposed rulemaking, okay? But this is just the PHMSA reauthorization issue. And then the legislative changes, I don't know if there's any one-call issues to discuss.
Yeah, I just got an email from Danette Welsh that apparently there's a bill draft floating around on changes to one-call legislation. And so I could run through that quickly, but I don't know that we could just bring it away. It looks like just some generic things. They're going to add a member to the board. They're going to define a little bit about prudent digging practices. And so I could just hit that 10,000-foot look of that if you
Perfect.
Want.
Perfect. Yep. Pat has some proposed corridor and route consolidated hearing language. I have to look at that this afternoon. My thought would be to probably share that. because we've talked about it already and kind of given him direction, so hopefully that reflects that. The 10-year plans, so we talked about that already. 500-foot setbacks. I think that was one of those that we threw out there, and we should let the industry decide if they want to bring that one up again and do something with it.
What was the question about it?
Well, Brian had sort of thrown out the idea, like, well, maybe the setback doesn't apply that much for crude oil lines versus gas lines. And so he said, you know, I'd be open to legislation that would take away that the waiver requirement for crude oil lines.
Oh, okay.
And that's one where I'm not a big I don't want to be a big advocate of that, but if the industry wants to run with it.
No, I'd never be an advocate for it, but I gave my comments that gas is different than crude.
So I'm going to take it off the list of things that we might be generating.
Yeah, I think that's one of those, if they want to sponsor it, they should sponsor it.
And then we talked about the wind farms in regard to footprint and reprint. I think we just take that off now because we aren't doing anything right now with it, and if we do, we can add it to the next time.
That'd be a good one for next time.
And then route changes between an application order. What I'm going to do on that one is ask them if they are having any issues with our current policy, which and how we're handling it currently, which is we just do a notice of opportunity for hearing and let that. And so, again, on this one, if they do have an issue with it, then I think I'm going to suggest that they come up with a change and then put it kind of in their court rather than us spearheading how to fix it.
It just can't get, and I don't even remember what the subject was, whether it was a pipeline or what, but, you know, we had something where we go have the hearing, and it almost seemed like it was before we got home, the whole thing was different. And, you know, you just can't do that to people. Go out and have these public hearings somewhere and present one thing and then prove something completely different. Yeah. I know there's going to be slight adjustments in that, but you got to be somewhat accurate in what you present at these public meetings. And if not, then they should work to changing the law that the meetings aren't held out there, because I don't want to be part of deceiving people.
Yeah. Okay, so that's how I'll throw that one out, and we can all chime in. Power initiatives, I'm not sure what that is. I got to check back with Ron Ness today. Administrative rules update, I also don't know what that one is. He might be cutting that one off. Saltwater remediation update, I hope Carrie does have that. And then again, Ron Ness, they were the ones with the SHPO concerns. That's in their court. If they've got anything more they want to bring up to us, that's their opportunity to do that.
Why are we worried about saltwater remediation, or just general knowledge?
Just so we know what they're doing. Yeah, just that was more of a awareness issue. So that's what the agenda is for tomorrow, and you can add things if you'd like. Still, but
you can send a new draft of that out when it's
sure. Well, maybe there'll be one for tomorrow for sure. I can send this one out.
Okay,
and I'll make these updates and send that out.
So we got a budget meeting tomorrow, a work session tomorrow, and then the meeting in downtown is starting at 11:30.
Yeah, it's busy.
Okay.
Okay, Jim, do you have an issue for admin, or are you here for scheduling that? Okay. Let's take yours first, number three.
That's the formal hearing that's been requested on this fall curfew provision, and it looks like the preferred date is Friday, June 3rd.
I can't make that one.
Okay, alternate dates mentioned, Crawley Fleck preferred May 27th, or Baumstark Barton preferred June 2nd. I don't know if there's
May 27th.
When does it have to be by, Jim? Is it 30 calendar days, right?
Yeah, I think the last date would have been that, or the 6th of June, I would guess. With it, the 30th day falling on the weekend.
Amy, the 27th is how long? Will we need a full day?
You know, I'm hoping not, but I thought the same thing with Casey Voigt, and that turned into 3 full days and then some. So I'm thinking if if we started in the morning, that we'd be done by, you know, mid-afternoon.
I have to leave early that day, I don't have a full day on the 27th available.
What about a look at our calendars? I mean, I have nothing on the 23rd of May. I don't know why that is.
Well, that's when I'm at that that group that you spoke to last year.
Okay, so you're going down there for that. All right.
That's a busy week. That's the petroleum council.
And then the rest of the through Thursday is the petroleum council.
I kind of hate to tie up all those days, full days. I mean, I also realize you can't keep them all, the entire days open, but what was the other date?
Well, actually, one of the dates that was preferred was the 25th, but I know Randy mentioned that that's when the petroleum conference is, and that.
Well, we may need to, I mean, this is.
I could do the 25th.
Jim had mentioned the 2nd, and I didn't hear any response.
I'm all whacked
June
up.
June 2nd?
Yeah.
I've got a full day that day already.
What about May 31st?
No, that is open.
That's the first day back from Memorial Day. But
that would work.
That would work.
And I think that was one that I don't think that was good for either
of the parties.
Either of the parties.
Okay, but it works for us. So why don't you take a list of ones that work for us, Jim, okay. and then go back to them and with that.
Would the 25th work?
I would be willing to do that. Okay. I don't know what's on the agenda that day down at the
I don't have that agenda that with me now because I just thought we wouldn't touch that one.
I don't think normally we would touch it, but this is.
There's a time limit on this, so, right?
Yes.
So we don't really have that many options. I don't know that we have the luxury to block off those all three of those days.
Well, I think the 25th would work if that would work for the commission. If you want to do it that.
Let me try to pull up the schedule.
Yeah, I was just doing the same thing. Ron asked me to be on a panel and never got back to me when it was. Coming events.
Oops, Dan.
Here we go. I'm on something here, Commissioner.
I'm on the thing. I just can't find the agenda. There it is. All right, so Wednesday is the one we're looking at?
Yeah, Wednesday the 25th.
So the morning is the governor speaking, Jam Shed Merchant, Canadian Consulate, Back and Forward, Lynn Helms, current oil price presentation from Whiting, luncheon keynote.
Does it say who that is?
Uncertainty business as usual. Don Rapp, President, Lower 48, ConocoPhillips, introduced by Wayne. Then we've got regulatory and environment. Then there's a bunch of breakouts. Geology, Bakken optimization. All afternoon is breakouts. I don't know. I mean, of course, there'd be things you could go to that would be interesting, but that would be one that I wouldn't.
Well, it sounds like if we're going to do it that day, though, we should schedule it for right away in the morning.
Start at 8.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sold with that.
Okay.
That was one of the dates that worked for them, Jim?
Yes, I think that works for both Crawley Fleck and Bromstock Bot.
And is it far enough out that we get to do our advertising in 2 different weeks?
Yeah, we'd get that out yet. Hopefully today, then published next week and the following week, and we'd be fine.
Okay, so May 25th, Wednesday, May 25th, is starting at 8 a.m.
Do we have to have a motion to do that? Or you already did the motion, but there was no date in it. Do
right.
we have to do something?
Yeah, the motion, so we've got.
We never do on the other ones.
Usually those motions don't include the date, then a lot of times I guess what I've noticed in the past
Right. The motions just say we do it, then we fill the dates in. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing, Lana had talked with Office of Administrative Hearings, and
we started with the 27th, but I'm hoping this is still okay.
Okay.
You had given me that window yesterday.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, then we'll pop back up to, we've already done number one. That's May 18th. The work session for Otter Tail. Does anyone have Jerry's blocked dates with?
He has his dialysis in the mornings on Tuesday and Thursday.
But then he had like a week of.
He's going to OMS.
Oh. Okay. Do you still have his email? I deleted it.
Oh, gosh, yes, I do.
Okay.
Question is, can I find it, right? Here we go. Please note, Thursday morning, blah, 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 blah. May 9, 10, 11, 12 are not good for me.
So that's next week. Obviously, we aren't going to get this on the... Do we need to get it on the agenda on the 18th for any reason?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, three of us even had a chance to talk about it yet.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is the one we had the hearing. Okay. Yeah. So
Randy, you're out the week of the 20th. You're going the 23rd, right?
Right. And, well, I sent the 24th, too, to get back.
Sure.
17th?
I'm good. Have to be in the afternoon because he's got stuff in the morning.
1 o'clock? 1:30?
I have League Night Research Council. I think that lasts till about 2.
2 o'clock then? 2.
Can we go 3? Is that too late?
Can we? Because I'm searching for an old email too to.
Sure.
I don't remember what time that ends, but if 3, I'm sure we'd be done.
Or in the morning.
No, in the morning I have something else too.
And Jerry's got his stuff in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Tuesday. That's right.
So 3 o'clock on the 17th?
Okay.
Did you say that we scheduled number one for May 18th?
Yeah.
The what informal time?
It's the informal. It's already blocked out.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then, so this one, number two, is the 17th at 3 p.m. And then number four...
17th of May?
Yeah.
At 3 p.m., right?
Correct. Okay. And then number four, executive session, Grand Forks Bean.
Those dates were in an email from Mitch when he's available. We still have a bunch of reviewing to do and discussion amongst ourselves.
Okay.
So, his email was he's available May 9th all day, 10th all day, 13th in the afternoon, 17th in the afternoon, 19th all day, 20th all day, and 27th in the afternoon.
Can you go through those again faster?
May 9th?
I'm sorry.
May 9th. Are you guys, weren't some of you gone May 9th that week? No?
No.
I've got a pretty packed day that day, but.
May 9th all day, 10 all day. 13.
That's like
okay, hold
week.
On. 10. No.
We got a rail service thing next.
That's next week, yeah.
I mean, the morning of the 10th would work.
Fine by me.
Morning of the 10th works for me, too.
Let's do that. 10? 10 a.m.?
Okay.
Sure. The 10th at 10.
Okay. And then we need to put on the FERC SPP discussion for later. Should we do that, like, after Mark?
Yes.
That much later, or...
You know, that would be fine. It's just more put something in the calendar.
20th?
Sure.
Ooh, we've got a commission meeting the next day. You must have something that week.
Well, you know what's...
What are we scheduling now? The FERC?
FERC, yeah, discussion on SPP.
Okay, this is good you pointed out, Commissioner, because the GRA dry-finding tour that was my problem the 22nd and the 23rd has been moved to the 14th and 15th to coordinate with Mark. So those dates are now open. So if we wanted to move the commission meeting back to that Wednesday, we sure can.
Okay. I kind of like keeping it on Wednesday.
No, I agree. Reason. I agree.
Let's do that. So the June 21st commission meeting is now moved to the 22nd.
Jack and I would are both going to be gone. I mean, I'm assuming Jack will be doing this FERC SPP advising, but we're both gone to the lawyers' conference.
That week?
Well, I probably through Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay. So
we move the commission meeting anyway because
it's going to
be
anyway. Yeah,
in either event, but we probably want Jack here for that FERC thing, so
yes.
That doesn't solve that problem.
Well, the
29th?
Busy 30th is open.
Sure. Works. Okay.
Anytime.
June 30th. Let's say 10.
Sure.
Okay, so FERC SPP discussion June 30th at 10 a.m.
And we need to schedule our commission meetings out, maybe not today, but we're not scheduled into August yet.
I know, why doesn't...
We brought it up and then it just didn't happen yet.
Okay. And then, yes, I don't know. I need to talk to Daryl about that and the director's meetings. I don't think he's got those on there either.
Do you guys want to schedule the meeting into August now or... It's getting late, I guess, too.
Yeah, let's let Daryl do that.
All right.
I have one more thing, too.
Okay. We were taking August off, I thought.
I agree. But we should just have one meeting. We have to have one meeting
then
in August.
You're not doing August off.
We can't take the whole month off. We usually just schedule one meeting in the middle of August.
Well, in July, we already end on the 20th.
So should we go the middle, like the 17th?
That's what I was thinking. Schedule our August meeting on the 17th. Okay. And then we plan 3 weeks on both sides.
Okay.
And then we could pick up September 7th and get back on schedule, 7/21, whatever.
Okay. August 17th, commission meeting.
And you want to add then September 7 and 21?
I guess they aren't on there, but, yeah, they should be 7/21. I mean, the 5th. I think we should just...
I think so,
the 5th too. Of October and the 19th.
You know, or should... I wasn't planning this. I haven't looked way out into long-range planning or thought about what conflicts there might be. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but...
It's just kind of...
I'd like to get the commission meetings on there, then I don't book those dates
and
forget about
exactly.
It.
And they're Wednesdays every other week. I kind of just, in my own mind, am always... conscious of things that fly up on Wednesdays.
So would you have one then the 5th of October and the 19th?
Yep.
And then maybe?
The 2nd of November, but then the next one would conflict with Mark's or Nehruk, so we could do the 9th instead of the 2nd.
Yeah, do the 9th and the 23rd. Or do you want to trick it? Yeah, that'd be right. Well, no, wait, that's not right.
9th, yeah.
No, but sometimes we don't have meetings the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
So if we went the 9th and the 30th.
Yeah.
Okay, so not the 2nd. You're going to go 3 weeks?
November.
Between October and then the 9th?
Yeah. We can always tweak these as we get closer.
Yes, I just want to be sure I get it straight.
I think it's good to get it on the calendar, the 9th and the 30th of November.
Does that throw you off a big election party the night before, Commissioner?
Nah. I think it'll be all right.
Okay.
Okay, so we did September, October, November.
August.
August, September, October, November. So then we would go
So then we'd do either the 14th or 21st and then jump to the 4th, huh?
Yeah. Let's do the 14th, huh? December 14th and January 4th.
Schedule our holiday party, too?
January 4th.
Right, might as well.
Sure.
Put it in the calendar since we're... Traditionally, we'd have that like the 15th or 16th.
Yeah.
15th?
Sure. Holiday bash.
Extravaganza.
Holiday pig out.
That's so fun.
So good. I love that party. It's so fun. Comes around quick too, doesn't it? Oof. Okay. Good.
Okay, I had one more thing, and that's all morning, you know, it's confusing because Jack works a lot of times with the lights off in his office. So all morning I thought I was just missing him. I didn't know he was gone. So I don't know how far he's gotten with, we started talking about wind farm decommissioning rule changes.
Right.
So he and I have worked on things. I don't know how far he's gotten on that, but I hate to go too far without having a brief work session to make sure we're not going in a direction that the commission, you know, that's just way off base. So can we get together? I don't know when Jack is coming back, if this is a longer thing that he's got going. And I'm not thinking in the next few days because I don't know how far he is. But
are you, because I thought we talked about it quite thoroughly just last week. And you didn't, you have new ideas that are kind of different from...
Not so much new, but you run into different things. I think we can keep working on it for a while and get something a little closer to done, if that's all right with you too.
Fine by me.
I'm okay with it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think you had a pretty good sense of where we are all agreeing. And
okay, we'll just soldier on.
All right. Very good. I think that concludes the admin portion of our meeting. Thank you, everybody.